The marriage of Amba. Duryodhana, the son of Dhritarashtra, had a marriageable daughter by the name of Lakshmana. She was a very highly qualified girl of the Kuru dynasty, and many princes wanted to marry her. In such cases, the Swayamvara ceremony was held, so that the girl may select her husband according to her own choice. In Lakshmana's Swayamvara assembly, when the girl was to select her husband, Amba appeared. He was the son of Krishna by Jambavati, one of Lord Krishna's chief wives. This son, Amba, was so named because he was a pet child and always lived close to his mother. The name Amba indicates a son who is very much his mother's pet. Amba means mother and Sa means with. So this special name is given to him because he always remained with his mother. He was also known as Jamavati's sister for the same reason. As previously explained, all the sons of Krishna were as qualified as their great father. Amba wanted Duryodhana's daughter, Lakshmana, although she was not inclined to have him. Therefore, Amba kidnapped Lakshmana by force from the Swayamvara assembly. Because Amba took Lakshmana away from the assembly by force, all the members of the Kuru dynasty, such as Dhritarashtra, Bhishma, Vidura, and Arjuna, thought it an insult to their family tradition that the boy Amba could possibly have kidnapped their daughter. All of them knew that Lakshmana was not at all inclined to select him as her husband, and that she was not given the chance to select her own husband. Indeed, she was forcibly taken away by this boy. Therefore, they decided that he must be punished. They unanimously declared that he was most impudent and had created the Kuru's family tradition. Therefore, all of them, under the council of the elder members of the Kuru dynasty, decided to arrest the boy, but not kill him. They concluded that the girl could not be married to any boy other than Amba, since she had already been touched by him. According to the Vedic system, once being touched by some boy, a girl cannot be married or given to any other boy. Nor would anyone agree to marry a girl who had already thus associated with another boy. The elder members of the family, such as Bhishma, wanted to arrest him. Thus all the members of the Kuru dynasty, especially the great fighters, joined together just to teach him a lesson, and Karna was made the commander-in-chief for this small battle. While making the plan to arrest Amba, the Gurus counseled amongst themselves that upon his arrest, the members of the Yadu dynasty would be very angry with them. There was every possibility of the Yadus accepting the challenge and fighting them. But they also thought, if they came here to fight with us, what could they do? The members of the Yadu dynasty cannot equal the members of the Kuru dynasty, because the kings of the Kuru dynasty are the emperors, whereas the kings of the Yadu dynasty are able to enjoy their land only because we have granted it here. Thus the Guru's thought. If they come here to challenge us because their son was arrested, we shall accept the fight and teach them a lesson, so that automatically they will be subdued under pressure, as the senses are subdued by the mystic yoga process, pranayama. In the mechanical system of mystic yoga, the airs within the body are controlled, and the senses are subdued and checked from being engaged in anything other than meditation upon Lord Vishnu. After consultation, after receiving permission from the elder members of the Guru dynasty, such as Bhishma and Yudhishthira, five great warriors, Karna, Shala, Guru, Yashnaketu, and Duryodhana, the father of the girl, who were all Mahārathis, and who were guided by the great fighter, Bhishma, attempted to arrest the boy, Sambha. There are different grades of fighters, including Mahārathi, Kekarathi, and Rathi, classified according to their fighting ability. These Mahārathis could fight alone with many thousands of men. All of them combined together to arrest Sambha. Sambha was also a Mahārathi, but he was alone and had to fight with six other Mahārathis. Still, he was not deterred when he saw all the great fighters of the Guru dynasty coming up behind him to arrest him. Alone, he turned toward them and took his nice bow, posing exactly as a lion stands adamant in the face of other animals. Karna, leading the party, challenged Sambha, "Why are you fleeing? Just stand and we shall teach you a lesson." When challenged by another Kshatriya to stand and fight, a Kshatriya cannot run away. He must fight. Therefore, Sambha accepted the challenge and stood alone before them. But as soon as he did so, he was overpowered by showers of arrows shot by all the great warriors. The lion is never afraid of being chased by many wolves and jackals. Similarly, Sambha, the glorious son of the other dynasty, endowed with inconceivable potencies as the son of Lord Krishna, became very angry at the warriors of the Kuru dynasty for improperly using arrows against him. He fought them with great power. First of all, he struck each of the six charioteers with six separate arrows. He used another four arrows to kill the charioteer's horses, four on each chariot. Then he used one arrow to kill the driver, and one arrow for Karna as well as the other celebrated fighters. While Sambha so diligently fought alone with the six great warriors, they all appreciated the boy's inconceivable qualities. Even in the midst of the fighting, they admitted frankly that this boy, Sambha, was wonderful. But the fighting was conducted in the Kshatriya spirit, so altogether, although it was improper, they obliged Sambha to get down from his chariot, now broken to pieces. Of the six warriors, four took care to kill Sambha's four horses. One struck down his chariot driver, and one managed to cut the string of Sambha's bow so that he could no longer fight with him. In this way, with great difficulty, and after a severe fight, they deprived Sambha of his chariot and were able to arrest him. Thus the warriors of Su dynasty accepted their great victory and took their daughter Lakshmana away from him. Thereafter they entered the city of Hastinapur in great triumph. The great sage Narada immediately carried the news to the other dynasty that Sangha had been arrested and told them the whole story. The members of the other dynasty became very angry at Sangha's being arrested, and improperly so, by six warriors. Now, with permission of the head of the other dynasty, King Ugrasena, they prepared to attack the capital city of the Kuru dynasty. Although Lord Balaram knew very well that by slight provocation people are prepared to fight with one another in the age of Kali, he did not like the idea that the two great dynasties, the Kuru dynasty and the Yadu dynasty, would fight amongst themselves, even though they were influenced by Kali Yuga. Instead of fighting with them, he wisely thought, let me go there and see the situation, and let me try to see if the fighting can be settled by mutual understanding. Balaram's idea was that if the Kuru dynasty could be induced to release Sangha, along with his wife, Lakshmana, then the fighting could be avoided. He therefore immediately arranged for a nice chariot to go to Hastinapur, accompanied by learned priests and brahmanas, as well as by some of the elder members of the Yadu dynasty. He was confident that the members of the Kuru dynasty would agree to this marriage and avoid fighting with the others. Lord Balaram proceeded toward Hastinapur in his chariot, accompanied by the brahmanas and elders. He looked like the moon shining in the clear sky amongst the glittering stars. When Lord Balaram reached the precincts of the city of Hastinapur, he did not enter, but stationed himself in a camp outside the city, in a small garden house. He then asked Uddhava to meet with the leaders of the Kuru dynasty and inquire whether they wanted to fight with the Yadu dynasty or make a settlement. Uddhava went to see the leaders of the Kuru dynasty, and he met all the important members, including Bhishma Deva, Dhritarashtra, Dronacharya, Duryodhana, and Bali. So offering them due respects, he informed them that Lord Balaram had arrived at the garden outside the city gates. The leaders of the Kuru dynasty, especially Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana, were joyful because they knew very well that Lord Balaram was a great well-wisher of their family. Outside the city gate. According to their respective positions, they welcomed Lord Balaram by giving him in sharing nice cows and arya, a mixture of art and honor and an assortment of items such as honey, butter, flowers, and sandalwood at home. Because all of them knew the exalted position of Lord Balaram as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they bowed their heads before the Lord to break his heart. They all exchanged words of reception by asking one another about their welfare, and when such formalities were finished, Lord Balaram, in a great voice and very patiently, submitted before them the following words for their consideration. My dear friends, this time I have come to you as a messenger with the order of the all-powerful King Ugrasena. Please, therefore, hear the order with attention and great care. Without wasting a single moment, please try to carry out the order of King Ugrasena. King Ugrasena knows very well that you warriors of the Kuru dynasty improperly fought with the pious Samba, who was alone, and that with great difficulty and unrighteous tactics you have arrested him. We have all heard this news, but we are not very much educated, because we are most intimately related to one another. I do not think we should disturb our good relationship. We should continue our friendship without any unnecessary fighting. Please, therefore, immediately release Samba and bring him, along with his wife Lakshmana, before me. The Lord Balaram spoke in a commanding tone, full of heroic assertion, supremacy, and chivalry. The leaders of the Kuru dynasty did not appreciate these things. Rather, all of them became agitated, and with great anger they said, "Hello." Hello, these words are very astonishing, but quite befitting the age of Kali. Otherwise, how could Balaram speak so vituperatively? The language and tone used by Balaram are simply abusive. And due to the influence of this age, it appears that the shoes befitting the feet wants to rise to the top of the head when a helmet is worn. We are connected with the Yadu dynasty by marriage, and because of this, they have been given the chance to come, live with us, dine with us, and sleep with us. But now they are taking advantage of these privileges. They had practically no position before we gave them a position, a portion of our kingdom to rule, and now they are trying to command us. We have allowed the Yadu dynasty to use the royal insignias like the whisk fan, conch shell, white umbrella, crown, royal throne, sitting place, and bedstead, along with everything else befitting the royal order. They should not have used such royal paraphernalia in our presence, but we did not check them to do our family relationships. Now they have the audacity to order us to do things. Well, enough of their impudence. We cannot allow them to do any more of these things, nor shall we allow them to use these royal insignias. It would be best to take all these things away. It is improper to feed a snake with milk, since merciful activities simply increase his venom. The dynasty is not trying to go against those who have fed them so nicely. Their flourishing condition is due to our gifts and merciful behavior, and still they are so shameless that they are trying to order us. How regrettable are all these activities. No one in the world can enjoy anything. If members of the Kuru dynasty, like Bhishma, Dronacharya, and Arjuna, do not allow them to, exactly as a lamb cannot enjoy life in the presence of a lion, Without our desire, it is not even possible for the demigods in heaven headed by Kundera to find enjoyment in life. But his people are very dangerous. Actually, the members of the Kru dynasty were very much caught up due to their opulence, kingdom, aristocracy, family tradition, great warriors, family members, and vast, expansive empire. They did not even observe common formalities of civilized society. And in the presence of Lord Balaram, they uttered insulting words about the Yadu dynasty. Having spoken in this unmannerly way, they returned to their city of Hastinapur. Although Lord Balaram patiently heard their insulting words and simply observed their uncivil behavior, from his appearance it was clear that he was burning with anger and was thinking of retaliating with great vengeance. His bodily features became so much agitated that it was difficult for anyone to look at him. He laughed very loudly and said, "It is true that if a man becomes too much upcoming because of his family, opulence, beauty, and material advancement, he no longer wants a peaceful life, but becomes belligerent toward all others. It is useless to give such a person good instruction for gentle behavior and a peaceful life. On the contrary, one should search out the ways and means of punishment. Generally, due to material opulence, a man becomes exactly like an animal. To give an animal peaceful instruction is useless, and the only means is argumentum ad populum. In other words, the only means to keep animals in order is a stick. Just see how impudent are the members of the Kru dynasty. I wanted to make a peaceful settlement, despite the anger of all the other members of the Yadu dynasty, including Lord Krishna himself. They were preparing to attack the whole kingdom of the Kru dynasty, but I pacified them and took the trouble to come here to settle the affair without any fighting. Yet these rascals behave like this. It is clear that they do not want a peaceful settlement, for they are actually warmongers. With great pride, they have repeatedly insulted me by calling the Yadu dynasty ill names. Even the King of Heaven, Indra, abides by the order of the Yadu dynasty. If you consider King Ugrasena, the head of the Bojas, Rishis, Pandavas, and Yadavas, to be the leader of a small phalanx, your conclusion is wonderful. You do not care for King Ugrasena, whose order is obeyed even by King Indra. Consider the exalted position of the Yadu dynasty. They have forcibly used both the assembly house and the Parijata tree of the heavenly planets, and still you think they cannot order you? Don't you even think that Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, can sit on the exalted royal throne and command everyone? All right. If your thinking is like that, you deserve to be taught a very good lesson. You have thought it wise that the royal insignias, like the whisk fan, white umbrella, royal throne, and other princely paraphernalia, not be used by the Yadu dynasty. Does this mean that even Lord Krishna, the Lord of the whole creation, and the husband of the goddess of fortune, cannot use this royal paraphernalia? The dust of Krishna's lotus feet is worshipped by all the great demigods. The Ganges water inundates the whole world, and since it emanates from his lotus feet, its banks have turned into great palaces, places of pilgrimage. the principal deities of all planets engage in the service, and consider themselves most fortunate to take the dust of the lotus feet of Krishna on their helmets. Great demigods like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and Eden, the goddess of fortune and I, are simply plenary parts of his spiritual identity, and still you think that he is not fit to use the royal insignia or even sit on the royal throne? Alas, how regrettable it is that these fools consider us, the members of the Yadu dynasty, to be like sheaves and themselves like helmets. It is clear now that these leaders of the Kuru dynasty have become mad over their worldly possessions and opulences. Every statement they made was full of crazy proposals. I should immediately take them to task and bring them to their senses. If I do not take steps against them, it will be improper on my part. Therefore, on this very day, I shall rid the whole world of any trace of the Kuru dynasty. I shall finish them off immediately. While talking like this, Lord Balaram seemed so furious that he looked as if he could burn the whole cosmic creation to ashes. He stood up steadily, and taking his plow in his hand, began striking the earth with it, separating the whole city of Hastinapur from the earth, and then he began to drag the city toward the flowing waters of the river Ganges. This caused a great tremor throughout Hastinapur, as if there had been an earthquake, and it seemed that the whole city would be dismantled. When all the members of the Kuru dynasty saw that their city was about to fall in the water of the Ganges, and when they heard their citizens howling in great anxiety, they immediately came to their senses and understood what was happening. Thus, without waiting another second, they brought forward their daughter, Lakshmana. They also brought Sambhav, who had forcibly tried to take her away, keeping him in the forefront with Lakshmana at his back. All the members of the Kuru dynasty appeared before Lord Balaram with their folded hands, just to beg the pardon of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, using good sense, they said, "O Lord Balaram, reservoir of all pleasures, you are the maintainer and supporter of the entire cosmic situation. Unfortunately, we were all unaware of your inconceivable potencies. Dear Lord, please consider us most foolish. Our intelligence was bewildered and not in order. Therefore, we have come before you to beg your pardon. Please excuse us. You are the original creator, sustainer, and annihilator of the whole cosmic manifestation, and still your position is always transcendental. O all-powerful Lord, great sages speak about you. You are the original puppeteer, and everything in the world is just like your form. O unlimited one, you have a hold on everything, and like child's play, you hold all the planetary systems on your head. When the time for a dissolution comes, you close up the whole cosmic manifestation within yourself. At that time, nothing remains but yourself, lying in the causal ocean as Mahavishnu. Our dear Lord, you have appeared on this earth in your transcendental body just for the maintenance of the cosmic creation. You are above all anger, envy, and anger. Whatever you do, even in the form of chastisement, is auspicious for the whole material existence. We offer our respectful obeisances to you because you are the imperishable, supreme personality of Godhead, the reservoir of all opulences and potencies. O creator of innumerable universe, let us fall down and offer you our respectful obeisances again and again. We are now completely surrendered unto you. Please, therefore, be merciful upon us and give us your protection." When the prominent members of the Kuru dynasty, from grandfather Bhishma to Arjuna and Duryodhana, had offered their respectful prayers, in that way the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Balarama, immediately became softened and assured them that there was no cause for fear and that they need not worry. For the most part, it was the practice of the Kshatriya kings to inaugurate some kind of fighting between the parties of the bride and the bridegroom before the marriage. Prince Sambha forcibly took away Lakshmana. The elder members of the Kuru dynasty were pleased to see that he was actually the suitable match for her. In order to see his personal strength, however, they fought with him, and without respect for the regulations of fighting, they all arrested him. When the Gadu dynasty decided to release Sambha from the confinement of the Kurus, Lord Balaram came personally in order to settle the matter, and as a power of the Kshatriya, he ordered them to free Sambha immediately. The Kauravas were superficially insulted by this order, so they challenged Lord Balaram's power. They simply wanted to see him exhibit his inconceivable faith, thus with great pleasure they handed over their daughter to Sambha, and the whole matter was settled. Duryodhana, being affectionate for his daughter, Lakshmana, had been married to Sambha in great pomp. For her dowry, he first gave 1,200 elephants, each at least 60 years old. Then he gave 10,000 nice horses, 6,000 chariots, dazzling just like the sun shine, and 1,000 native servants decorated with golden ornaments. Lord Balaram, the most prominent member of the Yadu dynasty, acted as guardian of the bridegroom, Sambha, and very pleasingly accepted the dowry. Balaram was very satisfied. After his great reception from the side of the Kurus and accompanied by the newly married couple, he started for his capital city of Dwarka. Lord Balaram triumphantly reached Dwarka, where he met with many citizens who were all his devotees and friends. When they all assembled, Lord Balaram narrated the whole story of the marriage, and they were astonished to hear how Balaram had made the city of Hastinapur tremble. It is confirmed by Shukadeva Goswami that in those days, the river flowing through the city of Hastinapur, present-day New Delhi, was known as the Ganges, although today it is called the Jamuna. From authorities like Jiva Goswami, it is confirmed that the Ganges and Jamuna are the same river flowing in different courses. The part of the Ganges which flows through Hastinapur to the area of Vrindavan is called Jamuna because it is sanctified by the transcendental pastimes of Lord Krishna. The part of Hastinapur which slopes toward Jamuna becomes inundated during the rainy season and reminds everyone of Lord Balaram's threatening to cast the city into the Ganges. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 68th chapter of Krishna, the marriage of Sambha. It's quite a story, eh? Yeah. His son.
Okay,
Krishna's son. Yeah, by Jambavati.
When he was
Sambha, the daughter of the Kuru? Yes, then Duryodhana had a daughter. named Lakshmana. And Samba wanted to, was attracted to her, wanted to marry her. But at the time, she did not think so much of Samba. So there was a Swayamvara, and she was going to pick her own prince, but instead she was abducted by Samba. So then a fight ensued.
And then in the fight, Bhishma was there.
Yeah. Along with the Germans. Yeah, the crews were there, right.
And it was like 4 or 5 or 6 against 1.
Well, when it came down to the 6 against 1, there these were the 6. Who really chased us? Karna, Shala, Guri, Yajna, Ketu, and Yajna. They were the 6 who were specifically the people. But everybody was into it, everybody planned. Because they were all Maharathis, big fighters. Maharathi means 1 million to take on 1,000 soldiers and win. So it was 6 Maharathis against 1.
So, every kind of a game?
Well, yeah, everything. It was a sport, you know. Well, they agreed that when they talked about Samba, that he was injured to be punished, but they were not going to kill him. They just had to teach him a lesson. Yeah. So they ganged up on him, and then not following the rules of chivalry, they seated him from his chariot and apprehended him and hauled him back.
And then,
so
that part is
Balaram's regression to Balaram? Yeah, well, in Balaram, because Balaram, although he was a Yadu, he always liked Duryodhana. He had some special affection for the Kurus. And so he thought he'll go and make peace. So he came and made this peace that he give up, and just don't have a fight with relatives. And Ugrasena given his judgment that you should give up Balaram, give up Samba and Lakshman. And then they replied with a big diatribe against the Yadus. So there wasn't any peace. And then Balaram, really, this really goes on a rant. And then what he does is with his plow, he chops up the ground around Hastinapur and is hauling it into the gun. So they just by himself. So they decided, okay. But then Prabhupada says at the very end that actually, you know, in one sense, they just see what would happen. And they were maybe not so sure that Samba was a fit guy for their daughter. But after they saw him, they were happy. You know. And I guess it doesn't mention it, it must have changed their opinion too. Anyway, that's the story. Quite a story, isn't it? Okay, I think I have to stop now. Thank you very much.